Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you're in the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale marketplace where each piece is carefully vetted and verified by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. If you're in the market, use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Hermes, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAG10 for 10% off your first purchase.
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing digital deals for members. Coca-Cola, 7-Up, Dr. Pepper, and Polar Seltzer, selected varieties and sizes, buy two and get three free of equal or lesser value plus CRV. Limit three free items. USDA Choice Bone-In Ribeye Steak, $7.97 per pound. Limit two packages. Creamy Hass Avocados, 77 cents each. Limit four items. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
All right, here we are, Friday afternoon, and we are in the middle of the media center here at the Montreal Convention Center, powered by Lambert, Zaney, Smith, and So-So. I'm Scoot on the air. Really glad you're with us. Ian Hoke is with me, and we're going to continue to bring you some of the fun and excitement. This is the last day from radio. It's called Radio Row, but it's really Media Row. This is the last day from here, and the Blue Plate, Real Mayonnaise, and Louisiana Fish Fry, they have got some great food. I think it's fried chicken today and some great dipping sauce from the Blue Plate Mayonnaise new sauces. All right, reach over and crank it up. This is what you've been working for. Yes, and wherever you are, it's Friday. Of course, a lot of people are going to be working over the weekend because of the Super Bowl. And, you know, a lot of businesses are going to be so busy because of everybody in town. And, you know, I think about a lot of people in the French Quarter whose businesses were closed because of the snowstorm recently. And then before that, because of the tragedy on Bourbon Street. There was a lot of closure in the French Quarter, so they're going to hopefully recoup a bunch of what they lost. And, you know, I'm thinking about the young ladies that are, you know, raising children, the young ladies who are paying for school, paying for nursing school, the young ladies who are working so hard at the gentlemen's clubs in downtown New Orleans in the French Quarter. They're going to be able to recoup some of their losses that they weren't able to get when things were closed down. So hopefully they will, and all the bartenders and everybody in the quarter is going to recoup some stuff. But yeah, a lot of people are here, and you have no idea who's going to just walk by. And, you know, last night, if you watch this on Fox, the NFL Honors from the Sanger was a big-time production. This looked like it was from Hollywood. Now, I mean, essentially, they bring in Hollywood producers, Hollywood-type producers to produce that. And it looked so big time last night. The city looked great. So many people in town, celebrities and, of course, football players and, you know, previous football players and current football players. And it was great to see Jaden Daniels win a couple of awards last night. Eli Manning was passed over his first year of eligibility for the NFL Hall of Fame. But he'll get in. He's going to get in. He'll get in. So he didn't make it the first time around, but he's gonna be there. And, of course, the Mannings were involved in that whole renaming of Children's Hospital. And that, along with that, went a lot of money from the Mannings. And I mentioned this yesterday. I so respect the Mannings and their mentality and their attitude toward money. Because between the three of them, especially Peyton and Eli, they have made a lot of money in the NFL. And Peyton and Eli are making a lot of money now, a lot of money with endorsements, and they deserve it. But what you do with your money in life, I think is important. And I think we're kind of judged, and I think it's a judgment of our character, what we do with our money. And look what they're doing with their money. teaming up with Children's Hospital. And this is just such a great thing and such a great statement about the Mannings. And I don't think we should overlook how they are looking at the opportunities they've had. They've earned the money. You know, Peyton was a great quarterback. Eli was a great quarterback. Archie was a great quarterback. Archie was a great quarterback at a time when he didn't have a team surrounding him. But everybody's done well over the years. But, you know, they don't seem to be the kind of people who are, as I mentioned yesterday, buying Lamborghinis, doing frivolous things with their money. And Eli and Peyton both have children's hospitals in different areas. Eli in Indianapolis, and I think, no, Eli in Jackson and Peyton in Indianapolis. And so I just think that's very admirable. And don't just look at this as, oh, this is really great. They're renaming the hospital after the Mannings. Just think about what the Mannings are doing with their money. And I just think that's a very, very admirable thing. So anyway, a lot to talk about. I'm thinking about Eli Manning. Ian Hoke is with us this afternoon, our senior producer. Good afternoon, sir.
And good afternoon to you, too, as well. That would be nice if Eli Manning or Ian Manning or somebody like that was here with you, but you're stuck with me.
Yeah, no, that's cool. I'm fine with that. So, look, we've learned the NFL is expanding. They're going to have a game in Ireland. There's going to be a game in Australia. And, you know, honestly, I don't know how this is going to work.
Well, what do you mean? What's not going to
work? Well, I don't know how this is going to work on a regular basis. And I know that Roger Goodell wants to expand the NFL to an international level. But on a regular basis, on a practical basis, I don't know how you play a team in London on a regular basis. I don't know how you play a team in another country on a regular basis.
No, that makes sense. And look, I guess I'm kind of doing a little guesswork here. I don't think it makes sense for the NFL to expand the 32 teams to include some number of internationally based teams, but I can see a future where there is like an NFL Australia that has like four teams in like Brisbane and Sydney and, you know, Perth or whatever they got over there. Maybe an NFL Europe.
And the team.
Whatever those hippies got down under.
The Aborigines area.
Yeah, that'd be cool. Yeah.
Down
we're,
under.
We're from the Outback.
We got down under against Sydney.
Yeah, I think your sense is probably correct that it would just be logistically too difficult, like, for the Saints to, you know, regularly play a team that was based overseas. But, you know, just because he wants to expand the NFL's brand internationally doesn't mean that includes American NFL teams regularly playing against teams that are based somewhere else.
Well, that's my thought. My thought has been that that's what his goal is. Just building the brand and expanding the brand to becoming an international brand in terms of just the brand in general. That makes sense to me. And it makes sense to me also to sometimes have games in other countries. But I just can't imagine that there would be a situation where there would be an NFL team in another country. You know, because that team's going to be in a division, and that means twice a year, some teams from the U.S. are going to have to go there and play. And then they're going to have to come here and play. And, in fact, those teams are going to have to come here and play a lot.
Kind of a lot.
Yeah, so I don't see how that would work.
Well, but, you know, I guess it's also possible, and this is probably a pretty stupid idea, but as long as we're just guessing, it's possible. There could be, you know, a London or a German or a Mexican NFL team that only plays in the U.S., you know, it's like who knows what their home stadium would be or where their locations would be based out of. But it's not impossible to believe that, you know, Mexico could be represented by a team that doesn't actually headquarter in Mexico.
Well, or I can see that, you know, I don't know what the check out the flight time from, say, see what the flight time from Dallas to Mexico City is. And we'll just use that as one example. You know, flying overseas to London is about 6 hours.
About 2 hours and 50 minutes from Dallas to Mexico City.
See, that's believable.
That's
workable.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you, the other hint that might happen is the number of Hispanic radio stations and TV stations who are here. And it was really sad that a reporter from...
Yeah, what a sad story,
reporter,
man,
from Telemundo died, and they don't exactly know how he died, but some woman who's involved in scams, and she's a con artist, she apparently had some kind of contact with this guy.
Using his credit cards, yeah.
Yeah, and she has been known to try to poison people. So, you know, we don't know what happened. But look, if you're in town, let me tell you this. If you're in town, I don't care how smart you think you are. Do not. I don't care how attractive the woman is. You are taking a huge chance if you meet a woman in the French Quarter and you take her back to your room.
Yeah, be careful with that.
You are making a huge risk. And also, think about this. The most attractive woman you meet and bring to your room might not even be a woman. I mean, you know, I know a guy who did this. And he brought somebody to his room that wasn't a woman. And he'd already paid her. Anyway, that was just, you know. So anyway, look, be careful. And I know you think, oh, man, this woman is beautiful. She's really into me. Just look like be careful out there. All right, we're going to go to break. And when we come back, we're going to talk to Dara Gallagher. And he's with Pro Football Ireland. Oh, for Christ's sake. This is going to be fun to talk about this because there's going to be a game in Dublin. I wonder if they'll serve Guinness. There's a meal in every glass.
You going to do that accent the whole time?
No, I'm not. Okay. I promise. I promise I'm not. All right. If you want to join us with a comment, the Open Heart Jewelers talk and text line is 504-260-1870. You know, we're not doing a lot of calls this week, but if you do want to call, you can. But we are getting a lot of text messages, so feel free to text us. And the Open Heart text line is 504-260-1870. With Ian Hoke here on location, I'm Scoot on the air, and we continue from the Host Committee's Media Center on Radio Row, Montreal Convention Center, powered by Lambert, Zaney, Smith, and So-So. And look, get ready because the Super Bowl's in town, and tomorrow night is going to be one hell of a Louisiana Saturday night in the Quarter. We'll be back on WWL.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. On January 17th, Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+. And we can't wait for you guys to see it.
And before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recap podcasts.
Yep. Each weekday beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring exclusive behind-the-scenes tidbits and brilliant insights from our cast and crew and us.
Patricia Arquette, Britt Lauer, Zach Cherry, John Turturro, the list goes on.
All your favorite Lumen employees, their friends, families, enemies, in your feed every single weekday.
And here's the best part. After that, we're going to keep going. Tune in weekly as we recap every episode of season 2. The podcast drops on the same day the episode comes out.
It's the Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
On Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, hey, good afternoon. I'm Scoot on the air, and we are live at the Convention Center, Radio Row. Ian Hoke is with me. Luke Augusta is our location tech. You've heard the news. The NFL is going to Ireland. And, you know, we have a great affinity for St. Patrick's Day here in New Orleans. It's just one of the big celebrations in our city. And so from Pro Football Ireland, Dara Gallagher joins us on WWL. Dara, welcome to the show.
Thanks so much for having me. Yeah, it's so cool to be here. It's so cool to have New Orleans Radio. This is just like the most... I never thought Ireland would be on a stage like this, like the Super Bowl Radio Row.
It's great. And, you know, we're both gingers. Did you notice that?
I did notice that.
Yeah, you know, my family...
Hard to miss that.
My family goes back to... I'm half Irish, half French, and the Irish part of me goes back to Wexford.
Yeah, the city, obviously, you know about, like, the French connection with Louisiana and New Orleans, but
yes.
I mean, Ireland has just like this far higher. Like, I didn't realize there was such a connection here. You always hear about it in the Northeast with Boston and that, but yeah, it seems like everyone you meet here, they're some at least some part Irish, which is so cool.
Look, and when we get into February, we already start thinking about St. Patrick's Day. I mean, it is huge
yeah.
here. All right, so let's talk about the NFL going to Ireland. How excited are you?
Oh, I'm so excited. I mean, we've got a big brand in the Steelers. There's talk that they could be bringing in another big brand with them to play up against them. I mean, it's been a long time coming. We've had, obviously, we're used to traveling over the 2-hour flight or so over to England, but I mean, culturally, Ireland is its own entity, and we're so looking forward to getting a game. Yeah.
So there is big interest in the NFL in Ireland.
Huge, and it's growing year on year. It's the mainstream knowledge of what we call American football in Ireland is so much higher now than what it was maybe even 5 years ago, and it's probably double what it was 10 years ago. Yeah.
Why do you think that's happened?
I don't know. I think it's becoming more available to us social media-wise, and just in general, we've got better TV deals now. You can catch every game. You can catch Red Zone. And there's the likes of Pro Football Ireland, and what we've done and what other outlets have been able to do, which is spread the game and promote the game in Ireland and bring like big guests like Schefter and those guys over to promote the game in Ireland. Like that's at least a part of it.
Now, Dara, football to you has really been soccer.
Yes.
I mean, you guys call
Absolutely.
Soccer football.
Mm-hmm.
So this is a little different. But, you know, there are some similarities, especially to rugby, know, with
and
with
Ireland
football.
Is very, very good at rugby. We're world number one, or I don't know, maybe two now. But, yeah, we're right up there with the big dogs down in New Zealand and Australia.
Yeah. So an exciting time. What will it be like game day in Dublin?
I'm as excited for that as you are, because we've no precedent for what this could be. The stadium is magnificent. That's one of the things that we're really proud of. If you ask any Irish person about Croke Park, where this game is going to be played, it's an 82,500-seater stadium. It's a big dog. It's got one open end, which is Hill 16, which was years and years ago when there was the war between the English and the Irish. The rubble that was of the ruins of the city was built up to make a stand so that people could watch the game. So they built it on a slope. And that was obviously over years they paved it and it became a regular surface. But that is what Hill 16 is, which is an iconic piece of Irish history. Croke Park is steeped in history. It's well over 100 years old and it's just a gigantic stadium.
Wow, cool.
Yeah.
Do you think some of the women and some of the girls in Ireland, they have crushes on American football players?
Oh man, when I got here, the first thing I did was I got to opening night. I shuffled my way up to Travis Kelce as far as I could, got out my phone, opened Instagram, took a picture, story, post, everything they wanted, and they come flooding in because they all love Travis Kelce. Yeah. No, but I mean, that's part of Ireland breaking into the mainstream is what the likes of Kelce have done on a global basis. And you know, it's the kind of thing, your guys in with the Saints, we've got Charlie Smith, who's on your practice squad, grew up 10 minutes from me as kicker. He was in a kicking competition with Blake Groupie, who obviously had a good season. But yeah.
Go ahead. As the interest in Ireland in the NFL is increasing, how do Irish fans choose a team or a franchise to kind of be allegiant to? How do you decide who to root for?
This is funny. There's a funny running joke in Ireland that at least everyone has at least one piece of random NFL merch, and chances are if you pick up that one piece of merch, that's your team. I'm a Green Bay Packers fan for no other reason other than I had a Packers hat when I was 6 years old.
Nice.
I wish there was a cooler way for it, but that's literally how it works. There are bigger brands. The Steelers are a huge brand. They've done a lot in recent years to accumulate more fans. The Jags are kind of it's not working, but you know, they've been doing the whole London thing.
That tracks.
I don't know. They need the on-field product to be better, but the Patriots have always been big. The Dolphins go spanning back to the Dan Marino days. The Dolphins and Patriots have always been huge teams. So yeah.
Wow.
And the Guinness will be flowing.
Oh, the Guinness will be flowing. And let me tell you, if you're thinking about going to the game for Ireland, pull the trigger and go, because the Guinness in Ireland is 50 times better than what it is
really
anywhere outside of Ireland.
What?
And listen, it is a different drink, completely different drink.
So
they're doing us dirty.
Something is lost in the transportation of Guinness.
Yeah, it doesn't travel well. And listen, it actually goes beyond that. I live an hour north of Dublin. The Guinness does not even travel well out of Dublin to Belfast.
Really?
Yeah.
It's
still really good where I get it, but Dublin Guinness is miles, miles better. It's seen as we could go to Dublin just to get some Guinness. And then when you go outside of, it gets progressively worse the more it travels. I can't find a way to explain it. But yeah, it's okay in England and in the UK. Then you go out of Europe, you're like, and then you get out here and you're like, this is naughty. This is a completely different drink.
So have you had Guinness here in New Orleans?
Yeah, and I can get used to it. It's not bad.
Yeah.
Wow.
But I mean, it's still good. People like Guinness.
Oh, yeah, it's still good. I'd still drink it. But, yeah, it's completely different to Dublin.
But can you confirm that there's a meal in every glass?
Oh, yeah, there's a meal in every glass.
That'll load you up.
Yeah, I love that one.
That's so I love this. It's interesting because I traveled in the Czech Republic many years ago and went to the Pilsner Urquell brewery. And that, I've never tasted anything like that. I mean, it came straight out of this spigot, out of this gigantic vat. I mean, it was unfiltered or unpasteurized, was probably contributed to why it tasting the way it did. But it was like ambrosia, man. It was the food of the gods. And then I've never been able to find that flavor anywhere else.
Yeah, top two biggest beer consuming countries in Europe, the Czech Republic and us. Yeah, so
cool.
You know, there was a time when you, coming from Belfast and this game being in Dublin and you coming here to the United States, there was a time when there would have been a lot of tension surrounding all
Absolutely.
Of this. So things are pretty much calmed down.
Things are calmed down. It's a relaxed, it's completely relaxed now. And yeah, like my parents, even they, it was pretty much relaxed for them. But like, yeah, growing up now, like I'm in my 20s now. So like, it's kind of a, yeah, people my age don't really bother. It's almost like a story of a bygone time. And we don't even learn about it much in history, which, I mean, you can go do your own history research, but we kind of just, like, are ready to move on.
Yeah, you can listen to some of those early Cranberry songs.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Singing about the bombs.
They're still great songs.
Yeah, they're great songs. Well, I'm glad that's worked out. So, look, I think this is exciting. I think the players are going to love being there. I know the NFL loves this. Can you conceive of a time when maybe there would be a team, an NFL team based in London or in Dublin or maybe Dublin and London?
I can't see it in Dublin in a million years, but London, it's a contender. I just think logically it's a really tough sell for players to, you know, get drafted there and have to go and play there.
Now, I'm sure you grew up playing soccer.
Mm-hmm.
Now, so when did you become really involved in appreciating the NFL football?
I got into it from an early age. It's no different to Americans who get into soccer. I mean, I don't really understand there's never a reason. Like, I still love soccer. It was my main sport until I started going to Super Bowls and stuff. And you're like, okay, maybe I should take this more seriously.
Yeah.
But I guess what I'm trying to say is that there is a very loyal fan base in Ireland that follow American football. That when you get into it, you kind of get hooked. There isn't many like casual fans of it. Either you love it or you don't really know much about it.
Yeah, and so, you know, would anybody see like neighborhood kids out throwing a football?
No, funny. Well, we do have teams, and realistically, I should be, for the sake of it, I should be promoting those teams in the same, yeah. But like, in my opinion, it's not really all the way there yet. We have kickers coming from soccer and other sports like rugby where you're kicking a more suitable ball. Coming over here, we had four guys at the combine last year, but in terms of actual like players on offense and defense, we can't really produce much. We don't have the athletes. You guys, I don't know what they put in the water over here, but you guys are big.
there are a lot of people who aren't huge. So Tara, let's talk about your feelings here in New Orleans. How do you feel about being here, and what is different about New Orleans than say Dublin?
Oh, I love New Orleans, and this is my first time. And I don't just say this because I'm on here. I've been, if you were to walk past that Pro Football Ireland desk, we've been saying it all week. This has been the coolest city in America that we've ever been to. And I without any shadow of a doubt, that's what I say. It's been 10 out of 10. And I know people say, you know, well, maybe they've just scrubbed up for the Super Bowl and maybe it's looking a little nicer than usual. But it's been 10 out of 10. I've loved every second. I've loved the bars. I've loved the streets. We were in Vegas last year, and they're two very entertainment-heavy cities, but where Vegas has the glitz and the glamour, this place kind of has the coziness and the homeliness. It feels like a European city.
Yeah.
It doesn't feel like... It's walkable, it's bright at night, it's warm, the weather here is just lovely.
I've been lucky this week.
I don't know, we must be lucky this week because I'm coming from, you know, almost freezing temperatures in February this time of year, so it's been so... I don't know, I brought all of these. Thank God they turned up the AC in here, because if they didn't have the AC in here, I'd have brought a ton of like quarter zips and everything, and it's completely gone to a waste. Everything's just like t-shirts.
You call that a quarter zip?
We call it quarter zips. You call them sweaters.
This is a quarter zip.
Yeah, that's a quarter zip.
Called it a quarter zip.
Yeah, yeah.
No?
But it's like
it's a quarter of the way.
It's a quarter of the way. Yeah. Yeah.
But it's like a fleece.
It's like a sweater.
So it's warm. Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. No, they have it is cool here.
Is this Pro Football Ireland's? How many Super Bowls have you guys been able to go to?
We have done four, I want to say. Yeah, we started we started in LA for the one that didn't have Mahomes, and we've been stuck with Mahomes ever since. I think this is four. Yeah, we've done the whole of the three-peat or potential three-peat and then the one before that. So yeah, it's been 4 years in the road. It's been so much fun. We went to Brazil the first game this year. So we're going to catch the first Eagles game and the last Eagles game of the year.
Oh, that's great.
We thought we wouldn't pass up the opportunity to go down there. So
you have a regular show.
Yep.
What do you guys talk about on a regular basis when it's not the Super Bowl?
Well, we were laughing about this earlier because we talk about when's there going to be a game in Dublin, and now there is a game. So we're sitting over there all day saying, what are we going to talk about now? We've got nothing to do. After this game wraps up, we might just close up shop. We've got nothing to do anymore.
So like your whole quest has been get a game in Dublin.
Low key, like that's kind of what it's been the whole time. We've just been like, if we can get a game in Dublin, our work here is complete. So I'm kind of optimistic that the league doesn't forget about us after what, like we're not a one and done kind of thing, you know. So we'll have optimism that there's going to be a lot of pressure in Dublin to really knock it out of the park. If the league really loves it and enjoys their time there, like the college series did, we host the opener of the college football season week zero every year. We had game day come over and they had a blast last year. So if we can knock it out of the park like we did with that, and I'm optimistic that Dublin can, it could become a multi-year thing.
Oh, Dara, I think, look, after you get this game, I think your show is going to explode because I think there'll be more interest in the NFL.
We've been roaming around here all day. This has been the most fun day of 4 years times by 5 days of Radio Row. This has been the craziest day yet.
Dara Gallagher, good luck to you, and thanks for joining us from Pro Football Ireland. All right.
Thanks for having us. Nice to meet you.
All right. That was fascinating. You know, yeah, it's interesting that the game is going to be in Dublin. You know, it's going to be very much like London. You wake up early in the morning and watch the game. All right. If you want to join us with a comment, the Open Heart Jewelers Talking text line is 504-260-1870. I'm going to post a picture of Dara Gallagher coming up here in just a few minutes. I'm going to post this on the Scoot on the Air Facebook page, and I'm going to try to do a good job of posting the guest that we have, just so you just get a vision of where we are. I'm trying to bring vision to radio, and we can do that so easily through the Scoot on the Air Facebook page because it's just instant, and we can just post that there, and it really truly is an extension of our show here on WWL. So I'll post that here in just a few minutes. And again, if you want to join us, the Oaken Heart Jewelers talk and text line is 504-260-1870. All right, so one question is, why does Jalen Hurts not get more respect? You know, I mean, this guy is unbelievable, but maybe he doesn't get the respect he deserves. All right, and so in the 3 o'clock hour, at the beginning of the 3 o'clock hour, we're going to do a quick text off. Who's going to win the game, the Chiefs or the Eagles? And we'll let you decide, and we'll see how accurate our audience is. I'm Scoot on the Air, and we continue from the Host Committee's Media Center on Radio Row at the Montreal Convention Center, powered by Lambert, Zaney, Smith, and So-So, and we'll be right back on WWL. This song is about true faith, and, you know, that's what both of these fan bases have for their team. It's really what every fan base has for every NFL team. True faith in their team. Now, we have to talk about the possibility that the officials are going to play a part in this game. The officials, in my opinion, consistently have shown that they have a subconscious prejudice toward a team, a quarterback, a few different players. And it's obvious to a lot of us who watch football. Nobody's going to admit it. Nobody's going to recognize it. I think it's sad that the NFL doesn't want to address this. But as human beings, again, two human beings can be given the same set of facts, and they will tell a different story based on their own experiences and what they feel inside. Same set of facts will come out two different ways with two different people talking about those same set of facts. And so I think there are officials who get caught up in a game, or they get caught up in a team, and without maybe realizing it, on a subconscious level, they give preferential treatment to a player or to a team. I mean, I've seen it too many times to ignore it as a possibility. And I think it's just an element in the game. I think more could be done with instant replays concerning this, but I also am bothered that the league doesn't want to address anything. It's like the officials are infallible. It's like no matter what, they're right. And it doesn't seem like they're accountable for blatant bad calls. And we've seen it. And the no call, Saints and the Rams in the Dome a few years ago, you know, that was the most blatant of the no calls. But there have been others. And I think that the officials may lean toward Kansas City. Now, this is not to say that we should be looking for this. You know, let's try and be really objective here and not look for it. You know, maybe the officials are going to be warned about this possibility, and maybe they're going to go the other way. Maybe they're going to be a little harder on the Chiefs. But I think the NFL, and this is big too, I think the NFL wants the Chiefs to three-peat. I think they want this storyline. I think the storyline for the NFL of the Chiefs three-peating is bigger than the storyline of the Eagles winning and stopping the Chiefs from being a three-peat team. If you want to join us with a comment, the Okunor Jewelers Talk and Text line is 504-260-1870. I'm Scoot. Ian has got some text messages for us.
Yeah, most of the texts are in response to the conversation you just had with Dara Gallagher from Pro Football Ireland. Here's one that says, I concur, Guinness is much better in Ireland, and it's low in alcohol, so you can drink more.
Really?
Yeah. I guess this is a follow-up question I had for him. Is it that Guinness is literally manufactured with a different recipe for sale in the UK and in Ireland and across the European continent versus what happens over here? Because that's a thing that you see all the time. Like Mexican Coke, everybody knows is different from American Coke. There's all kinds of food and alcohol products that have a different recipe in the Europe than they do here because they got different regulations about what you can put in food. So maybe it's Guinness that's produced for Irish drinkers is literally it's a different product than what we get here.
And it has less alcohol. I wouldn't think so, but maybe that's possible.
I don't know, man.
Well, why don't you just Google very quickly how many Ireland plants are there? Breweries. How many Guinness breweries are there, and are there any in the United States? I think it's possible that it just doesn't travel well, that there's something about the ingredient, but I would think it's the same. It's the same Guinness.
Guinness has 5 breweries in 5 countries. They're in Ireland, Malaysia, Nigeria, Ghana, and Cameroon.
Wow, interesting.
None in the U.S.
So, I don't know. I would think that it would be the same. It would be the same recipe.
Yeah.
In any event, if it came from any of those, it would have to travel to get to the U.S., and I think probably the closest one would be Dublin. There are a lot of people here who are doing things that are associated with the NFL. Like yesterday, we talked to Andrew Zimmert, who was, and I don't know if the show's still on, Bizarre Foods. And I used to watch that show all the time, and I would watch him eat stuff that was just so disgusting. I mean, I couldn't imagine that this man's putting this in his mouth. But he would eat it, and he would try to like it. And most of the things that he ate, he seemed to like. And, I mean, just really the most bizarre organs and things. And the one thing that really stands out in my mind is when he was in Japan, and one of the delicacies is they have something involving frogs.
Oh, boy.
But they kill the frog right there at, like, the sushi.
Oh, man.
At the sushi thing.
Oh.
Right there at the sushi counter. Ugh. They kill the frog. They cut the heart out.
Come on.
You eat the heart while it's still beating.
Oh, my. You're killing
it's
me with this.
It's still beating. The heart is still beating in the hand, and you put that in your mouth
and eat.
Oh, my
God. I mean, cheeseburger. What's wrong with people?
Yeah, I can't imagine how good that would be. I mean, how much taste would there be in a heart?
I don't know, man. I got respect for other people's cultures and cuisines, but that's just...
I know.
That's really unwholesome.
I thought that was really strange.
Not cool at all.
But anyway, Andrew Zimmern is part of a program to help feed children. And I tell you, every year when there's a conversation about what do these kids in New Orleans eat when school's out, and it absolutely almost brings me to tears every time I think about kids growing up in New Orleans that don't have regular meals. And I told Andrew Zimmern on the air yesterday, and I'm going to follow through and do this. I told him yesterday that I'm going to make that a project of myself and this show. And I'm going to do what I can to help bring more awareness to that and do more to raise money to make sure that these kids are fed. I mean, these kids are helpless. They don't have a chance in life if they don't have the right nutrition. And think about the young kids growing up in New Orleans that don't have proper nutrition. Their brains are not developing. Their bodies are not developing the way they should. And it is tragic. I mean, we had issues at home, and we had money issues at a certain point, but we always had good enough food to eat. But there are kids who don't have food to eat unless they eat at school. So I'm beyond this week, I'm gonna make this a project of our show, and I'm gonna try to find out what we can do with this show to bring more awareness to it and to just actually bring food to these kids. And I don't know what it's going to take, but I'm going to work on this. All right, if you have a comment, the Oakland Heart Jewelers talk and text line is 504-260-1870. I'm Scoot with Ian Hoke, and Cullen Steele is back at the studio. And we continue from the host committee's Media Center, Media Row, Morial Convention Center, powered by Lambert, Zaney, Smith, and Soso. I tell you, man, one of the teams that you hear a lot about is the unity with the KC Chiefs. They seem to me, and this is just my impression from the two press conferences, it's my impression that there's more unity with the Chiefs than there is with the Eagles. That's my impression. And by the way, if you missed the interview that we played on the air yesterday with the Eagles fan, I asked him right out, I asked an Eagles fan if they were going to break stuff if the Eagles win. Well, he answered the question. I have posted that on Scoot on the Air Facebook, so check that out. We'll be right back on WWL. There was just a little politics at play when Newsmax TV reached out to a Chiefs player and wanted him to come on a show to be interviewed concerning the Super Bowl. I've got the email sent to the player, and I've got the player's response, and we've got that coming up. You know, Donald Trump spent a lot of time bashing Taylor Swift. Taylor Swift and Donald Trump are going to both be at the game. They're not going to be in the same suite, but Travis Kelce did an awful lot to compliment Donald Trump. Wonder if Taylor Swift's happy. All right, I'm Scoot. We're coming back with more from the Convention Center on WWL.